left. And I don't know who they sold it to and how much they got for it. The red, they say that is the blood. It's the blood that was shed to secure freedom for me, and I'm so thankful for that. I just don't know if that they were here. If they were here, they that shed their blood and saw the way this country is, that they would demand their blood be brought back. They tell me that the black is for the majority people like me. And yet for some reason I don't feel like I am a part of it. I look at it sometimes and I wonder, is it a story of my future, or is it just a reminder of a sad past? That wherever I go and I put on the colors of Zimbabwe, they look at me and as if they want to laugh, they ask me, are you from Zimbabwe? But you sick. This flag. This is a beautiful flag. This flag. This is a beautiful flag. This flag. This is beautiful. When I look at the flag, it's what a reminder of my pride and inspiration. It feels as if I just want to belong to another country. So I must look at it again with courage and try to remind myself that it is my country. I look at the green and think to myself, it is not just vegetation, but the green represents the power of being able to push through soil, push past limitations, and flourish and grow. That's me, my flag. The yellow, yes, is about the minerals, but not just minerals that are in the ground, but the minerals above it. Me, you, we are the minerals. We are the value of this land. This flag.
Get to feed your mind.
This.
Get to feed your mind.
This flag. The red, yes, it's blood, but not just blood, it's passionate blood. It is the will to survive, it is the resolve to carry on, it is the want to push through, to see the dreams come to pass, this flag. And the black is the night sky, that which we emerge from and we shine. It is the brilliant colors, it is the wonderful and lovely fruition of everything that we have ever hoped for. It needs a flag for it to be visible. This flag. It is my country, my Zimbabwe. We go through so much. We don't look like much even now, but there is promise in it. I will fight for it, I will live for it, and I will stand for it. This is the time that a change must happen. Quit standing on the sidelines and watching this flag fly and wishing for a future that you are not at all wanting to get involved in. This flag, every day that it flies, is begging for you to get involved, is begging for you to say something, is begging for you to cry out and to say, why must we be in the situation that we are in? This flag, it's your flag. It's my flag. This flag is flag. This beautiful flag. This flag is flag. It's your flag. It's my flag. This flag is flag. This beautiful flag. This flag is flag.
I have a very dramatic announcement. So anyone with a weak heart should leave now.
Unreal.
Revolution. Revolution.
Uncensored.
Revolution. Revolution.
Unfiltered. revolution. Unchanged. Unadulterated. Unbelievable. CliffCentral.com.
What's up, South Africa? What's up, the rest of the world? What's up, Joburg? It's your boy, Timisha Masha, and this is the Weekly Mashup. I'm in the studio with the beautiful
Candace Mama. I'm so happy to be back.
Not as happy as me. Welcome back, girl.
Thank you so much. It felt like forever.
I don't want to sound like a punk, but I miss you. Okay.
I miss you too. I miss being here.
Don't ever leave me again. I can't do this without
It was different.
I'm fine. I'm fine. It was great though. It was a good show. It was a good show. But I missed your energy.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
And no, because I listened to the show and I had so much FOMO. I was just like, damn.
Really? But you were in Bloom, the city of flowers. And you know the
Yo, it was cold, eh? No, it was cold.
Were the flowers out though? Were there any beautiful flowers?
Yeah.
Okay, you didn't notice them.
Nah.
They're not really it's not really a thing.
I wasn't scoping.
There are a lot of hot chicks in Bloom. I figured
by flowers, that's what you meant. No?
Yeah. But I just thought I had to be literal because I don't know if you were slow. I felt like you were just in the gas, you say Yang Ziba. Like you are just ignoring me. Like I'm trying to like go there.
I saw where you were going and I was just like, nah.
Why? Why would you do that to me though? Because you know that's my favorite topic.
I know. But I just had to this time.
And we spoke about that. And you left me. You left me behind. You left me here by myself. Let me help you with those earphones.
Yeah, because my earphones, like one is not working. Thank you. No.
What, you need to hear yourself in stereo? How's that? Is that better?
It's so much better.
Okay.
No, you know, it's so funny. I went to Bloom to speak to UFS. Yeah. The students are UFS 101. So I had to go to both campuses.
UFS.
Yeah.
How do you pronounce that again?
Universiteit van...
UFS.
UFS.
UFS. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm trying.
Universiteit van Freistaat.
Wow.
Yeah.
I didn't know you could...
I could do that.
No. But you do live in Reimsburg. So I guess you have to, right?
Like,
to survive.
Like you adapt. Adapt or die. That's my protocol.
Because you will die, Reimsburg. They will shoot you. Those people are not playing around, man.
You have to like whoop it out like when people least expect it.
Yeah.
Like, hoe gaan het met die... Oh, good, bye, donkey, bye.
Exactly.
And you even put on the accent.
Yeah,
like
you got
can't
to, right?
just.
Anything can happen.
Anything can happen.
But what happened in Bloom, though? What were you up to there?
It was 2 weeks. I started off on the Bloom campus.
Yes.
And I was basically just speaking about trauma reconciliation. And yeah, it was a different crowd. 1 hour sessions, 4 sessions in a day. So it was a lot of speaking.
Wow.
And then yesterday it was 2 sessions at the Kwakwa campus.
Kwakwa, yeah.
Yeah. And that was also very different. I think the Fees Must Fall movement has really changed our students, eh?
Yeah.
Like I did this last year. The reception was amazing. This year, ish. Mm. Like Bloom was okay. It was very engaging. Even Kwakwa was okay. The second Kwakwa, ish. It kills me every time.
Like you are just linguistic this morning. Like you were hitting us with Afrikaans. Now you're there.
I'm doing the clicking.
I have to
switch it up now.
All right. So did you get hit on in Sotho?
No. I didn't get hit on
it. Sounds
in
a little bit like Chinese, doesn't it?
Actually, come to think of it, I've never been hit on in Sotho.
Ho hang che, who has wrong more little now?
I don't think that's on. I don't know.
But they wouldn't say it like that.
Yeah.
What's wrong with this? How could Sheb a fellow in my studio?
You sound like the news.
It's all a sort of. is it?
That sounds like so the news.
Either way, it just doesn't work.
It just,
okay.
It just doesn't do
right,
it. Now I know why no one ever hits on me in Tswana or Soto. Or,
really?
Yeah. You know what? I've
those
actually,
are so romantic.
Come to think of it, I've never been hit on in a different language.
Is it always
it's
English?
It's always English. I feel so boring and predictable now.
Yeah.
All the guys that hit on me are so
come
like
on,
standard.
Guys. Come on, guys. What are you doing out there? Listen, if you know how to hit on a woman in any other language but English, I'm begging you.
Tweet
if
us.
Tweet us in the meantime. But if you ever bump into Candace, you know, try a little something different. Try you know what, Tswana, come on. All the Tswana boys out there.
Because that I can understand very well.
Because me, I'm like, you know what, Vanek will take you down, hey? Like, if someone hits on me in Vanek, I might just be like, okay, Abuti, you know what I mean?
Really? It would just be that easy for you.
Yeah, I would give it up. You know what I mean?
Well, period. If a woman is hitting on a guy, like, you know how tough. Okay, I've never hit on a guy and been rejected. But I'm assuming.
No,
I don't do it that often.
You don't know what that feels like.
No, exactly. I don't know what that feels like. But I find it hard to believe that a guy could reject a woman. Like, I don't care what she looks like. You've got to kind of just play along, you know. Don't be a beep. You know, just
what's
play
that,
along.
A puss?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Don't
be a beep
or
a puss. Just say hello. No, but you see,
just
the thing
nice.
Is, right? The thing
don't
is,
be, don't
you can't be
extra.
Nice, but that's the thing. You can't be nice and still be like, no, I'm not going to call
no,
you.
No, women do that all the time. Like, I mean, we're the masters of doing that. Like, whenever I say to a man, if you're hitting on me and I say, and you ask for numbers, and I say, okay, let me take your number, likelihood of me calling you is 0.00%.
Yeah, right there, what happened? So what if a guy comes up to you and just says, hey, how you doing? Listen, here's my number. I'd like you to call me. I'm sure you've heard this before. You're remarkably beautiful. And I'd like to get to know you better than just how you look, because I have a sense that you and I could make magic.
I'd laugh.
Yeah.
And then I'd take the number.
Okay.
And then I wouldn't call.
Really?
Probably
after such
not.
A great intro.
No, it would have been a great intro and a great story to retell. But I mean,
I felt like that was my intro on TED Talk or something.
I felt like that too. Yeah? I felt like I was being pitched.
Yeah, that's like what I was doing.
I was like, damn, okay. And it was very it was very quick. You've got to be subtle with a woman. You can't be just, I'm here, take me as I am.
You know,
like, there needs to be, like, even though you're hitting on me, let there be like some words. You know, let's exchange some.
That's why I just prefer, like, truth or dare, you know, at people's houses and just getting drunk and then seeing what happens from there. It usually works out better.
Do people still do that? I don't even remember doing that since, like, starting high school.
Oh, you haven't played Spin the Bottle in a while?
No, like, since, like, I was 14.
You haven't played Spin the Bottle or truth or dare?
The girls today who were busy protesting about their hair, that's what I was doing when I was 14.
Like, you were like, truth or dare? You were, like, so not revolutionary.
Definitely not.
Yeah. Do you like kind of feel left out though sometimes? You're like, I could have done more.
No, not at all.
But did you not have a fight?
It wasn't a time. It wasn't our time.
Yeah, but
I feel like you would have been called irrational back then.
Yeah. So let's see. It was about 10 years ago, right?
Yeah.
Let's say 10, 11 years ago.
Yeah.
We're talking 2004.
Yes.
Like, there was nothing to fight about.
No.
Things were great.
Everyone was happy.
Yeah. Our economy was doing really well. Apart from Tabo Mbeki saying that, you know, being an AIDS denialist. Apart from that, like, the Rand was doing amazingly well. People were buying houses, man.
We were having
and cars. I remember.
I just feel like if you said anything at that time, you'd be seen as ungrateful.
I think so.
People would just be like,
it was a lot of social cohesion.
Look at her. She goes to a Model C school now. She just wants to pick a battle.
You know, like, we would have just not heard you. You would have been the only one with that.
No,
the picket.
Literally, it would have been like detention.
It would have been like a one person
march.
Yeah,
yes.
Or like, we should be allowed to have our hair anywhere we like. It's like, yeah. So who's stopping you?
You know what though? Because it's so funny in schools, like, you know, on the farms and stuff, like, so they predominantly black schools, even they have rules for hair.
Yeah,
which is actually very funny, because they're like, okay, no, you're allowed to have natural hair, because obviously we only have black students.
Yes, I see we're going there. And let's go there. Let's just dive right
we
in.
We might as
first,
well.
Right?
And what's
going on there?
No, but even, like, that's what I'm saying, even urban schools, you know, that are predominantly black, they've got a code of conduct for your hair.
Yes.
So even when you do like straight, like cornrows, you're not allowed to have zigzag cornrows. It should just be straight back.
Oh,
or like,
really?
Yes. So if you have singles, they need to be styled in a certain way. Like, you can't just go around willy-nilly styling your hair
anyway. Yeah, just doing what you like,
no,
right?
No.
Yeah.
You know, because, I mean, I'm all for, okay.
Oh my gosh. And this is
my
hectic.
This is my opinion,
let's hear,
by the way.
Hear.
So
I love this.
So y'all can tweet me hate mail if you want.
Tweet. But tweet us at Kimisho Masha and at Candace Mom. And of course, you can tweet us at Cliff Central. Tell us what you think about our topic today, because we're talking about like the anger situation in general in South Africa. And we're going to start now with the hair thing.
Yes.
Because I've got a few things to say, but I want to hear what you have to say.
Okay, awesome.
Like, especially after you just come back from Bloom talking about reconciliation
and forgiveness. so no, you know, this actually got me in two minds, because at first I was like, okay, it's about time that schools accommodate our hair, you know, because
it's about damn time.
We've got black hair. Mm-hmm. We don't have white hair. It doesn't fall. Like, you know, it doesn't blow in the wind.
No.
It just doesn't accommodate.
It is what it is, hey?
And sometimes it's just difficult. You wake up and it just does not want to do anything.
Hey, dude.
You know.
This hair, this hair has got this, those tendencies.
This is negotiation here. It is not
this hair is unionized.
Oh my gosh. It will like take you to court like before you style it.
Exactly. It's like no,
I want you to know
like
my rights.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? It's like,
And then you just have to like deal with what you get, right? Mm. So I do feel that schools need to start accommodating black hair in terms of there needs to be a guideline for what you can do as a black student with your hair that is not
standardized.
That isn't standardized to white hair, because our hair doesn't do that.
Okay.
If you're going to have natural hair, there needs to be protocol for what you do with natural hair.
Hey, natural hair. Yo, that's the most unionized.
Oh, wow.
That's some Kunta Kinte hair. Yeah. That one.
Like, that's proper.
Yeah.
That's proper. Like, I'm taking
that
you.
That is a darky.
Yeah.
He is refusing to move today.
Yo.
Ain't nothing you can do about it.
No,
that's a Zulu taxi driver, natural hair.
Yes.
It's non-negotiable.
Yes. It will do what it does when it does it.
Yeah.
It's not even going to ask you when you want to do anything.
No, it's your hair. But it's messing with you.
No. So you see, so if a natural hair has got to have its own prototype, then chemically processed hair should women, should girls choose to
What
have
about boys as well? Because, you know, I prefer an S-curl growing up, because it's just easier to comb.
Should they? Should they prefer that? There needs to be a protocol. Mm. Like, you can't be greasy and like everywhere you walk, now the whole corridor is getting slippery because your S-curl
But you know what?
Stays
the
wet.
Products nowadays are much better. It's sort of natural. You look more like that Denzel look.
No,
you know, it's like kind of done, but is it natural?
No,
is it not? I don't know.
Because some kids just want to throw it way back. Like they're using that grease
they're still
bucket.
They're still using the Johannesburg Mayor's products, black like me, right?
That they are.
Yeah.
So, you know, you can't. So you each hair type, because black hair is not like standard, here's a book, read it. Mm. No. Each hair type's got to have accommodations. Mm, mm. So if you're going to braid your hair, there needs to be rules.
Yes,
you can't be
braiding
it.
Right?
You can't be braiding it with gold strands and pink strands and purples. No, it must be black.
Yes,
you know.
Okay, that's
so
fair.
Exactly.
That's fair.
So
and it has to be a certain thickness.
Because
you know, because we can go crazy. You can have like the thick, you can have the thin.
I'm telling you.
Guys, black hair needs its own rule book.
Not
a couple of pages, like a full book.
It's like another code of conduct.
Yes.
Attached. It's an addendum.
It's an addendum.
To the code
like
of
they
conduct.
Give to black parents. It's like, and they have to have a black person who hands it out. Like we can't, like every school has to have a black hair officer.
Yes.
And their job is just to discuss
to police
black hair, and also be the go-between in terms of the policies we have at school about the hair and how the learners and their parents might feel about it.
Precisely. Because you know the only problem I had was, like, if I was a kid, let's say in class with what's her name, Zakaya, and she's got that huge afro, it's beautiful,
it's
in
beautiful.
Everyday
it's
life, like, it's beautiful,
yeah,
but like I don't want to sit behind that. Like, you know, right, if I'm a short kid, I don't need that in my life.
So and why don't you just move to the next desk? Like,
exactly.
Move
to
the side.
It's fine. As long as she's not protesting to sit in front, then we're good.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
If she's willing to sit at the back of the class for every lesson, we're good.
Do you think that it would have been prejudice against her if they said, look, Zakaya, you've got the big hair, right? It's only fair that you sit at the back. Would it be is it because I'm black and I got big hair? Now you're putting me at the back.
Yes.
It's like, yes,
now
it's
I can't
exactly
get quality education in front with the rest of the kids.
Yes.
You know, I choose your struggle.
But that's why,
keep the hair or sit in front. There's no, you can't have
both. You
can
have both. But that's why you need a black hair officer.
Yeah, that's
because
it.
Because it just won't come across.
Precisely.
With a white teacher saying to you, listen, this is how we're going to do it.
But you know what? Actually,
it's like, oh,
I
really?
Actually feel like in a weird way, this is the best time to be black in this country, because anything any white person does to you,
you can spin it
in the worst way. Like,
in a way we never had rights to before. I'm like, damn.
Like, for the first time in our life, like, literally, you can police white meanness. Yeah. If a white person is just mean to you on the road, that you can literally constitute that to
somebody
racism.
Somebody looked at me funny, you know, because like they didn't move at the traffic light. And like the traffic light turned green. And they're like, you know.
And you can start a whole debate around
that. Yeah, it's
that.
A Toyota Fortuner brigade, you know, white lady in a Toyota Fortuner. She's not moving. I'm in a BMW behind her. It's like, lady, come on.
Yeah.
Beep, beep. Very two polite beep, beeps.
She moves off. You can't do three, just two.
No, just two. And it wasn't long ones. It wasn't beep. Beep, it was beep, beep. Yeah. You know what
you're
I'm talking about.
You're a better man than me. Mm-hmm.
She moves. I go ahead. And then she comes to the side and just like gives me the glare out. Like, that's going to make me like I'm so afraid. And I looked at her like, and you know, right there, I was like, am I being overly
We have become overly sensitized.
Or, I mean, she could have given this look to any guy or any lady or anybody who just hooted at her. Or am I taking this personal now? It's like, it's because I'm black driving a BMW and you wouldn't get out the way.
Yeah.
You're like, how dare I, you know, 20 years ago, I would have been your garden boy. And here I am telling you to move out the way, you know. And I kind of went through all of that. I kind of went through the colonialism, the apartheid, the slavery. I went through, you know, the Rainbow Nation. I went through what we've been going through lately. I even went through Black Lives Matters. And I got to a point where I'm like, maybe she's just was being slow and she felt like her pride was hurt, like any person would have. And she just felt like she couldn't glare me out.
Maybe she was just mad that day.
And maybe she was mad today. It had nothing to do with me, you know. And
you
I had
to
go through that.
On the receiving end.
Yeah. And I had to accept that and be okay with the fact that whether it was because I'm black or not, that's not my problem.
Because you don't know.
Exactly.
You know, that's the problem, though, because I feel like in a lot of ways we've become overly sensitized. Like, you know,
I feel like that. So sometimes now we're like, let's just dial it back.
Everything now becomes like, we're almost in a state of a victim. We're in a victim state, right? Because we're always looking for things that will put us in a victim situation so we can speak out about it and become victors in our communities.
You know what I mean?
But the problem with that is, like, now you're going out of your way to literally find situations that are ridiculously like, and the
I'm
thing is no one is
right
no
now.
One is safe anymore.
No
it,
one.
It's like, even when you're black, your own people will turn against you for being too kind to white people.
Listen, like, black Twitter is not kind on that stuff, okay? Like, right now I'm sure there's people writing to us angry. Like, they're mad. Like, if you are mad about this topic,
like, oh,
if you are mad about what we're saying, just like, you know, holler.
Tweet us. Tell us if our opinion is not to your standing, and justify why you feel that South Africa and the state is in is a conducive state.
I can't take it.
I can't.
No, there's nowhere to go. It's not like you can go to America.
You know what? As black people, we can't go nowhere.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, we're not wanted anywhere.
Even in Africa. I mean, come on. Give us a break, people. It's too hard.
But you know what? I always say sometimes, like, I shouldn't group the two together, because then black people are like, oh, you're taking away the shine on racism. That's what we should be tackling first. Fine.
Yes,
okay. Let's tackle racism as
we're
a broad.
We're going to tackle racism right now.
First, number one.
Okay.
Okay, so now we're tackling racism, right? That is white on black, Indian on black, whatever on whatever, right? Now, let's remove that from the equation just for a moment. And let's talk about black-on-black hate. Because that's one thing that we never want to talk about. And that is the one thing that keeps... For me, I get affected more by black-on-black hate
than
by racist people.
I think the thing with that is that we're not allowed to talk about it, because if we admit to it, it's like we're diminishing
the racism
and minimizing
thing.
The real racism. Okay, because I keep joking about Remsig. But Remsig is real, yo. I mean, I go to Remsig and I'm reminded that we once had this problem called apartheid that sometimes I'm trying to forget that we had. I'm like the Born Free. So, like, I don't want to watch another struggle movie. I don't want to go to places like Remsig and remember that there was a time when this was real. But I can't help it, because I'm in there and I'm trying to just park my car and I'm asking myself, why are the white people here in Remsig so angry at me in particular? And, you know, I'm trying to feel like maybe they're just having an angry day, but I can't help but think maybe it's also... a matter of, it could be the color of my skin in the particular car
it's
I'm driving.
It's so funny, because I don't experience that and I live there. You know, and I haven't become like desensitized towards it. I just don't experience that kind of animosity, you know. And I live there. You know what I'm saying? It is not like Boxburg.
I'm from a different place, you know what I mean?
I think you're more attuned to it. You drive to the four ways area and it's like... Every other car is like a black person in the car. Like, you know, we're progressing. Like, for always we're progressing.
No, and but like, hang on. You know what? No, I'm not going to say that. That's true.
No.
That's true.
Mm,
but
okay.
But like, you go to the Dane Fern Shopping Center, like, peeps are just cool with everybody. It's like, I just, maybe it's
not a race thing.
Maybe it's a social, it's social.
Like, congratulations.
Social economic thing where it's like, okay, like, we're all rich. Like, let's just be cool.
There's nothing to be mad about.
Yeah. I don't know. But people are just generally chill. Like, you know, you go and pay for your ticket and people are like so courteous.
Yeah, yeah.
And like, if you don't have money at the time, you know, they might just say, you know, let me help you with
that. Yeah, yeah.
Or if someone is like trying to get out of a parking, they don't take that, you know, that some people that take extra long I'm not letting you park
here. Yeah.
They don't do that. They're like, sorry, I was on the phone, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're like, wow, everyone's just so good to each other here. And I know Remsuch is very middle class. I mean, like, there's some, like, people are doing well in Remsuch.
Yeah.
And it's predominantly black, which, like, confuses me. But,
well, not predominantly black, but, I mean, our black brothers and sisters, because there's a lot of value that side. You know, like, I mean, a lot of these people in this public eye, tend to move that way because you get a lot more bang for your buck, you know.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And it's not
necessarily upwardly mobile.
It's up. Yeah,
you can get a nice house right now.
You can
now
get
at a
really
good price,
great house,
and you can sell at an even better price.
Precisely. So it's a great place to stay. And
yeah,
overall, I don't experience. But then again, in my everyday life, I don't experience racism that much. Like, you know, and it's maybe because I don't look for it. Like, maybe I should just put my racism goggles on and, like, start looking.
Or take off your rose-colored ones.
Yeah, maybe, maybe. But, like, I'm such a friendly person. I feel like even if you were trying to be racist, I'd be...
Hello, clan members. That's an interesting hoodie.
I feel like, you know, I kill it with kindness, literally. Like, I'm like, you can't be mean to me. I'm like, nice.
Okay. No, it doesn't work that way.
No.
Okay, but fine. I like what you're saying because it's interesting, and we have to like look at it that way. Look, what I was gonna say. I've experienced trying to be like the mediator in a racism situation. And that didn't go down so well.
I know. We all know.
As a friend, it was tough for you too, I'm sure. Because, you know, you got some mud that was, you know, just hit me and like landed on your shoulder. But what I'm trying to say with that is it taught me one or two things though. That one, there isn't a big fat racism boogie monster around every single street corner. Like you just said, sometimes I think that we look for it too much. And sometimes we don't look for it enough.
Yeah.
It's a fine line because when do you just sometimes just like say, I just want to relax. I want to go to Cape Town. I want to be in Camps Bay. And you know what? If they give me the table by the bathrooms, it's okay. Because that really was the only table available at this time.
Yeah.
I'm not going to turn it into a front page headline about how racist Camps Bay is. But there are times when it's like, this place is empty and I'm the only person here. So why am I still sitting there?
Yeah. There are incidents whereby you're just like, ugh, you know, I know this is because. But that's why I'm bringing it back to the, racism is the bigger monster. I'm talking about the subdivisions of racism now.
Because there are subdivisions.
There's subdivisions. Yeah. So I just want to break it down for now and just say our own people, right? So for me, I actually experienced racism, or I don't even know what it's called. Like, but I went to Cartier, right? And I just wanted to see something.
Uh-huh.
The security
guard
at
racism.
Me like I was scum of the earth. Like the pain that they looked at me with in their eyes. I was just like, damn, brother. Like you could. I don't even need a smile.
Yeah.
I just need you to be cordial.
Yeah. Yeah. It's
do
like,
your job. That's all I'm
you
asking.
You do realize that if I buy one thing here, it's paid for your salary.
And that's that didn't even go through my mind. Like for me it was just like, but why you gotta be like this, right?
Yeah.
And then by the time you get in, the experience is already so tarnished. Like and even like the woman that helped was like, she was okay, she was professional, but she just sucked. So I think because I already experienced that kind of awful behavior from the beginning, it just didn't make me want to look at anything
but do you think that maybe what would help the people at some of these shops is realizing and understanding that, you know what we've got to do is educate our people so that we have more views. Because the likelihood of someone like you buying something at Cartier is far higher than probably most people of any other race walking to Cartier. Because let's be honest on that one as well. Like, and I don't mean to racially stereotype, and I know Black Twitter is going to hate me for this, and that's okay. Hate me for it. But let's be honest. Like, I'm just going to be saying it for myself. If I got like a 2 million rand deal tomorrow, I promise you I will be at Cartier tomorrow as the check is clearing, buying something that shows I just got 2 million bucks. So the likelihood of me and you buying something with like the little bit of money we got is very high. And actually, you want me to keep coming back, because if I feel good about it, hell, every time I get a 2 million rand deal, I'm coming straight there.
But that's my thing, because we buy an experience, right? You walk into Louis Vuitton, for example, and they give you great service from the time you set foot in. The security's smiling. People are, you know, it just makes you feel like, damn, even if I don't have the money right now, I'm coming back when I got money, because I feel good when I'm here.
Yeah, yeah.
But then there's stores whereby they kind of judge you in a way like, okay, well, whatever. You know, and then you're like, even if I had money, I'm not going to spend it here anymore. I'm
not coming back.
It's the pretty woman syndrome.
Yeah.
You know, pretty woman.
You lost me.
You lost me for good.
For good.
Goodbye. Yeah. Like, I'm never going to spend money in this place.
And that happens. And I think what we spoke about there was security guard racism.
But that I can also put in the same bracket as like teller racism.
Yes.
Like when you go to Checkers or like a shop that is not Woolworths, because Woolworths, for this one, you are exempt.
no, Woolworths has done some good work with their tellers.
Well done.
Yeah,
well
like,
done.
Wow.
Because, like, I'm so
sick. Pick and pay, ShopRite, you got work
Checkers,
to do. Checkers, you got work to do.
Like, there's nothing worse than when you get to a teller and you're paying for your stuff.
Mm.
And you're like, hi, how are you? Plastic. Okay, never mind.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Like, I was trying to, like, you know. Yeah, and then they, like, scan it. And while they're scanning it, they're looking at you with such just disdain.
Yeah. Like, they're like, how dare you into ShopRite and buy all this stuff?
Like, even if you're buying a chocolate, like, they don't care. They just... And then the worst part, this is what I experienced once.
Mm.
There was a white lady behind me. Yeah. Now, this is where I don't get black-on-black racism or discrimination or whatever you want to put it. Now, I greet this woman, and I'm like, hi, how are you? She's like, plastic, you know, and she's very like, mean and short. And then she gives me the total and whatever. So now, like, as they do, they tend to, like, pack half, so now you have to, like, fix your own bag. So
this is why I don't go to ShopRite, by the way. If anyone from ShopRite and Pick and Pay is listening, these are some of the reasons why we try and make enough money so that we don't have to go back to your shops.
Even though you're cheaper, we'd rather go to Woolworths, and the packaging is nicer anyway. But anyway, and then the lady behind me, a white lady, she says, hello. This woman is like, hello, how are you? I'm like, no, sister.
You didn't just.
No. Yeah, that's not. Yeah. So then I even like took it up. I was like, okay, so she greets you and you say hi. When I greet you, no. She's like, I didn't hear you. All of a sudden now it becomes a debate.
Like,
you looked at me.
You have a problem. Like, there's something wrong with you, sister. Do you feel like you need some attention right now? You know what
it
I mean?
It is ridiculous. Yeah. And all you're trying to do is correct it. Because, I mean, I can't stand it when, let's say, like, you know the guys, the parking meter guys, like, you give them a tip when you reverse and stuff like that. When they get into a store, you show them respect like you show any other. I don't deserve more respect because I'm dressed than a guy who's wearing uniform or a builder or a helper, you know? And I hate that when that happens too. Like, when they treat the person in front of me like, you know, let's say she's a helper. And then they treat her like... And then I'm like, excuse me. Like, why can't you just treat her like right? You know?
What's wrong with you?
It makes me mad.
Did your mother not raise you right? Because I'd like to just go back.
Black.
You know, that security guard racism. Because I'm going to give it categories. There's teller racism. There's security guard racism. There's waiter, waitress racism.
People are going to be giving
hospitality industry racism.
Please understand when we say racism. Please understand that we're using it loosely. Do not tweet us and tell us we're uneducated and we don't know a dictionary. We do.
And what,
we're using
it
in this
we
particular
must decolonize
context.
Our mind. No, but like, this is real.
Yes.
Because it doesn't happen to anyone but a black person.
Thank you. Okay, so security
guard. So that is racism. Where you get there and, you know, you're late and you're signing in.
Mm.
And it's like, for you, you're just like, I'm going to that building. I can't remember... It's a law firm or it's a studio, you know. I can't remember the name of the studio, but you know the name of the studio. That's where I'm going.
Yes.
You know, and that's the only studio here.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, puti. Until ubhala ukuthi uya kuyiphi studio awungeni la. And you just get to a point where you're like, my brother, you can see I'm late, ne? And quite frankly, let's not forget who we are in this scenario. You're just a security guard. If I go in there and I really get mad and I say that you treated me badly, yeah. I have got the power and the means yeah. and the resources to make sure that
and you don't
want to
do that.
Your shitty job. Ugh. And I don't want to do that. You know, I've got things to do today and tomorrow, and I'm trying to make some money here, and I'm trying to do things.
And I want you to keep your job.
I want you to keep your lousy.
I gain nothing from you losing your job.
You know what I mean? Because right now I'm going in there, and the money I'm going to earn in that hour is what you earn in the whole month right now. But I don't want to have to tell you about that, because that's going to make you
but
feel bad.
But then can you see that exactly? Then it makes you become a mean person and have to throw out stats that are not necessary.
You know what I mean?
You know, because and all now I was trying they make to do you is, so angry.
And you're like, I'm just looking for your help. Just tell me what that so I can write it down. We're both trying to do a job. Yeah. We're trying to keep the place safe, and I'm trying to help you do that. I'm trying to do that with the most utmost respect.
Yeah.
But I am going to say something if you act like an
if
asshole.
You keep acting shady.
You know what I mean? Mm. It's like you go into a restaurant, and this happened to me. I'm going to say it was at a Woolworths food. Mm. And, you know, they let me sit there, and I'm sitting. At first, I'm like, you know, maybe they're busy, or they're just like.
Oh, no, but can I just say, Woolworths food, you guys have the worst service. Like, you guys have great food when I'm just coming and picking it up and leaving.
Yeah.
You guys have the restaurant portion
lousy.
Of you.
It was
Yo.
Lousy. I mean, I'm
y'all
like,
need better waiters.
I've been
like,
here 10
terrible.
Minutes, and then the waiter, like, two white people walk in. The waiter's like, oh, hi. Here's my menus. Where would you like to sit? And I'm like, Sissy, you've been here the whole time watching me sitting yeah. down, whatever. Yeah. You haven't come to me once. These two people walk in and you jump. What is your problem? No, I want you to explain it while I'm here. Tell me exactly what your problem is. And in the end, I still gave her a tip. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to give you this tip so I can remind you that it's possible that I can tip you, but I don't have to if you behave
yeah.
this way.
But it's such a problem because actually Woolworths food, just side note, you guys need to sort out your service. And this is everywhere.
I just feel like,
I've never been to
all
a
our
good
sponsorship opportunities today.
No,
like
I feel like we are helping them grow. Because I love Woolworths. I love Woolworths, the brand and everything. But my gosh, when it comes to Woolworths food, you will sit there for 35 minutes and not be attended to. And not only that, when your drinks do come, they call because your waiter forgot to go and get your drinks. Like,
yeah,
it's
like
just ridiculous.
Your cappuccino, she just left it
oh
there on the
gosh.
Counter for like the longest time.
And now
time.
You have to remind her like it's now your job to go and get your own
yeah.
cappuccino.
Yeah.
Like, it's self-service.
And then you like the bad, like you're that uppity black. Like, you made it and you want us to see that you made it. Like, you want everybody
you
to
know
see that we're not olekhoa.
But
that?
That's the problem, because I try and be as a I'm like, in my heart, like, I feel for everyone. Like, yeah. I don't judge you whether you are a cleaner, a street sweeper, or a CEO. To me, I treat yeah. you the same respect.
I believe that it's really important.
Same level of respect.
That shows your breeding.
So for me, I treat everyone with the same level of respect. So I don't understand it when I come into your establishment and I greet you nicely and I take a table or I take a seat and you give me bad service. I'm like,
you know we're going to have some words. Me, I don't take that lying down.
Like, I'm just,
I'm like, we're going to have
no,
to
no,
talk
no,
about
but
this.
But then I can't eat there. If I'm going to talk to you about it, I'm not going to eat. Because I don't know what you're going
to
be doing
no,
in the
I
back of the kitchen.
No, I talk to you about it after. No, I'm not going to talk to you before. No,
because
no.
that's important.
I hear what you're saying. And I'm very conscious of the fact that if I talk to you about it before, you could, you know, mess up my whole experience by spitting in my food or something, or, you know, rubbing your balls on my buns. And both of those are not really cool for me. You know, either way you think about it, literally or figuratively. But at the end of the day, I'm like, after I'm finished eating and before I give you your tip, because you'll still be holding to me, I'm going to tell you why I have a problem with you. And I'm going to show you what you could have made. And then I'm going to scratch it out and say, this is the new figure.
Yeah.
I'm still going to give you something.
Yeah, yeah.
But this is the new figure. If anything, sometimes I might even say, here is 5 rands. For everything that you do wrong, I'm taking 5 rands away from this 50 rand tip. Mm. Or I'm taking 10 rand away. So by the time you've done 5 things
but
wrong, you've lost the whole tip.
No. But you know what the problem is? Like, just generally, man, I just feel like our people, we need to have like a congregation where we just tell ourselves the truth. Like, we can like lock all white people out of the room.
Yeah, let's do
just,
that. Because we don't
like
want them knowing some of
the
stuff though.
Yeah, because some of the stuff we do to each other is just so uncalled for.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean,
especially like, and then we have to now break it down into even a further category. Now we've done
before
security
you get there,
tellers.
No,
yes,
hold on.
Go.
We got somebody on Twitter. It's the Quiet Storm. And they say, look, we're telling it like it is. Black on black racism is definitely real, Bagwetu. Thank you so much, the Quiet Storm. We feel it.
It is
we feel
true.
It, yo. We know
we
it.
Feel it.
We
in
know
our
it.
Soul.
We know it.
And another thing I don't like, right?
Yeah.
Now the subcategories are now increasing. So now we black on black racism.
Yeah.
Now, woman. Woman.
But hold up, hold up.
Okay, so now we've done security talent.
Yeah. But yes. Have we even gone to like black on colored, black on Indian
No.
Are we still going there?
No. Yeah, we're still going to get to all the others. All right, I'm just saying right now.
Let's go to the woman on woman.
It's the subdivision of black woman on black woman.
So we're still on black, but now we're like black woman on black woman. Oh, talk about that. Let's talk about that, guys. Why do we do this to each other? Mara, why?
Like, I'm that woman. If I see a pretty lady, like a black lady, whatever, I will compliment you. I'll say, you know, you really look good today.
Yeah.
Or I love your hair. Or I love your outfit. Or I love your shoes, you know. Because it's nice to hear that sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
But now, I don't understand why, if you like something I'm wearing, don't stare me down, give me squiff looks, analyze me. And then only when I like take you up on it, oh no, I was just looking at your shoes.
Like, really?
Now, why you got to make me feel uncomfortable for that whole journey for you to tell me you like my shoes?
We need to delve into this because I'm not familiar with this version.
We don't know.
I don't know this version. Woman, this is new to me.
Every black woman has experienced this.
So give me a blow-by-blow of this story because I'm not sure exactly how this happened, how this went down.
Okay.
What happened? You were dressed. You were looking good. And where were you?
Okay, so firstly, I know I look different. I do understand this, guys.
Different, how? Like different to who?
No, exactly. I didn't understand this until everywhere I went, people were like, yay, you're not South African, ne? So I realized that a lot of people don't think I look South African. So they'll throw names
but
out there.
But you could be Kenyan.
Mauritian.
Yeah,
they'll
Mauritian.
Say
for
like,
damn shizzle. East African, though.
Ethiopian.
Yeah.
They'll say Somali, whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever comes to mind. My dentist thought I was American. I don't know. So just.
Yeah, I get that vibe too coming from you. You know, you're like, you got that East African vibe going on.
So people will always tell me I look different. So I'm used to it. So I'm used to women staring at me because I know if we do start a conversation, that's where we're going first. Like, yes. Where are you from? Because your hair's not like us, right? So then it's okay. I don't mind that. But now what I do mind is like if I'm walking and you guys like now are in a group because this is the problem.
Uh-huh.
Like I can deal with one black woman at a time because you're going to give me a squiff look and you're going to keep moving.
Yeah.
But when you guys are like two or three, then it becomes a problem. Because
what?
Because now it becomes a conversation.
What? There's a whole group thing happening?
And there can be a group hate.
And then
it becomes like you guys talk about the individual.
Mm.
And then like, obviously I know you're talking about me. Like, I'm not dumb. I'm there. Especially if it's a seated situation. Like, I'm in a restaurant. I'm not going anywhere. You guys aren't going anywhere.
Get out of here.
So then we're sitting and I'm there. So then I go to the bathroom and I come back. And then I'm like telling myself in the bathroom, no, these people, seriously, they don't see me. Like,
hold up.
Because they were squiffing me out. Like,
yeah, but you could hear the conversation.
No, you can't hear the conversation. But I could see like how like one at a time they turn.
Wow.
You know? So then I was like, okay, no. You can feel a complimentary vibe, but then you can feel like I'm about to die vibe.
And I was
feeling the latter, so.
But, you know, I mean, did you confuse it? Maybe because, you know, I get that. That's some celebrity vibes.
I'm not a celeb.
You know, because, you know, sometimes it could be just a celebrity vibe.
No, I'm not a celeb.
Oh, so it's not
that. I'm not,
you're quite famous. I mean, you've been in magazines and stuff.
No.
And newspapers.
No.
You've been on TV as well.
People don't recognize me like that. They don't. They'll just be like, I think I know you. And I'm like, I don't think you do.
Okay. I get what you're saying.
Yeah, you know. So I'm like telling myself in the bathroom when I come out, I'm asking these women what the F is up.
Oh, you like straight up?
No, so no. Cause
you're
now,
ready to like let's do this.
Now I'm like, okay, if they're going to say something, they might as well say it to my face.
All right.
Know?
That's very brave of you.
Yeah, no, I thought so.
Yeah.
Because it took me like a while to psych myself up.
Yeah. Hey, okay.
And it was just a bad day. It was just a bad day.
This is a restaurant, by the way. It's a public place.
Can I just state I don't do this regularly because I don't have that much courage regularly.
Yeah, I mean, I really didn't expect this from you, Candace.
No, I didn't expect it from myself either.
Okay.
And then as I'm walking by, I started chickening out. So then I like start slanting away.
I started walking in that direction
away from the table to go to where I'm seated. And then I get to like a middle ground. So it falls silent. So when it falls silent, I was like, no, screw this. I'm gonna say something.
You're going back.
So then I turn around and I just say, excuse me. You know, I could tell that I've captivated your guys' attention.
Yeah. What is it? Yeah.
And then they're like, oh.
That's it?
So they're like, then they fall, like they go quiet. So I'm like, okay, this is not how it went down in my head.
That's even worse because you're like, okay, what happens
next?
No,
but now I'm giving dead stare. Like, I'm just like not even budging. Yeah, yeah. I'm like giving resting bitch face.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they're like, oh no, we just liked your shoes. I was like, eh. I was like, what a cop out in my head. I was like, what a cop out. I was like, And then I walked away.
Yeah.
And then I was just like,
you showed them.
Why do we do this? Why do we do this to each other? Like, you know, I mean, we are one of the most criticized groups, like, you know, segmentation of, you know,
can
people.
Can I just call it? Can I call it how it is?
Tough.
Can I say it?
Yes,
and I want to be brutal. I want to be honest about this, guys.
Say it.
Okay. black woman, here is your problem. And you know what? You can say what you like about me on Twitter, but I figured it out because I think we're not brave enough to say this to you. Yes, there is a scarcity of resources. There's a scarcity of career opportunities. There's a scarcity of business opportunities. There's a scarcity of good black men. But that does not mean you have to fight amongst yourselves.
Thank you.
For these scarce resources.
Thank you.
Perhaps if you created a instead of competing with each other, you cooperated with each other.
Thank you.
You could find that there's enough resources for everybody.
I love that.
There's enough job opportunities, yes. Black women, for everybody. If you're brilliant and you actually go to work and work.
Yes.
There are enough business opportunities if we actually all help each other.
Yeah.
There are enough good black men if you decide that, you know what,
this I'm week treat
I don't feel
right.
Like screwing mine. You have him, girl. We don't mind.
Yo, no, that was not where I saw that going. I was like, preach, preach. And then I was like, no, no, back it up,
we
back it up,
reverse.
We are
open to the fact
reverse,
that if you are just not in the mood this week, send us to your homegirl. Let her
really?
Enjoy it for a while.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, no, that's not going to happen.
Okay.
That's definitely not going to happen.
That's a topic for another day. But I put it out there.
Yeah.
I put it out there.
I think what you need is maybe an open relationship. Whereby you just, you know, you dictate rules as you go. Because that's I've realized open relationships are.
Yeah.
You dictate as you go.
Yeah.
There's no
you start with like the sense of we're open and, you know, we can sleep with other people. And then it just goes out of control.
You know what messes it up? Men. Uh-huh. Men mess it up.
Yeah, they do. Other
you know
men
why?
In your open relationship mess your open relationship up. That's why I'm like,
men
our open relationship is not open to other men. It's just between me and these other chicks.
Yes, yes. That's exactly the problem. Because men want an open relationship until the woman is open.
It's like, no, wait. Don't. Have you heard that song? Like, I drove, 300 miles or something like that by Kanye?
No.
It's on his 808s and Heartbreaks, right?
Yeah.
And it's like, basically, I get that song. Because Kanye's like talking about how he drove like for hours throughout the night.
Yeah.
He drove like 3,000 miles or something.
You okay?
And you know, one verse is how he was open to an open relationship until she had another man. And that made him drive all the way to Cape Town in the middle of the night. You're driving from Joburg to Cape Town on some. Stop! No! Don't!
No,
I didn't
we're not
mean
doing
it.
This. We're not doing this.
Please don't do that with that guy. I know he's got the biggest schlong in Cape Town.
Oh
and
my
I don't
gosh.
Want it to mess up my stuff.
No, but that's the thing. Men can be such hypocrites.
I think basically what it is like we're open to an open relationship.
As long as it benefits you.
That's what I'm talking about. Like
it's very much like the Jada and Will thing that happened, whereby they had an open relationship and apparently Will, and obviously guys, I don't know them personally. So
this is what Jada told you, right?
Yeah, so I'm using what y'all know too. So anyway, so apparently it was a great open relationship when Will was being open.
Yeah,
and then,
baby.
And then Will walked in on Jada Pinkett and who is the guy? Mark Anthony.
Who's Mark Anthony?
J-Lo's ex-husband. Yeah, because he's one of the most successful Latin singers in Latin America.
That
he's
dude.
Very successful. And yeah, when he saw that, he was just like, I can't deal with this ish. I can't.
But he does look like the head of a very successful gang from Mitchell's Plain. Like those guys are selling rocks. I mean, that's how he looks.
He does. He does look. I mean, one of my favorite movies, he plays like a very shady character.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's Man on Fire with Denzel Washington.
Oh, he's in that.
He's the father who sells his daughter pretty much.
That's him.
Yeah.
He was so shady.
Yeah, but he was so good at being shady. That was the scary part. I was like, no one is that good an actor.
Nah, come on, man.
not Mark Anthony.
Yeah, not Mark Anthony. I think he was just playing himself.
Yeah.
So yeah, I understand where Will was going with that because there's no man who's good enough. It's a problem. You know,
no,
if the guy is not up to your level, like if you're thinking, whatever, it's still like, that hurts. But why would you sleep with that guy? And if he's like, he's really amazing, you're like, that's even worse. Why would you sleep with that guy who's a professional athlete? He's got a master's in business science.
Damn. And that's a rare combo.
You know what I mean? And he's really good looking and he's so nice.
And
he's
he likes
nice
you
guy.
As a person. He
yes,
listens to you.
You know what I mean? And he recites poetry. Why would you do that to me? You know, I can't live up to that. And he makes love to you for like 5 hours straight.
No, but
please
you're
don't
not.
Do that.
Right? No, but women are like. Yeah. The thing is, if a woman knows that she's out of your league.
Yeah.
And you allow an open relationship, I think it'll mess things up.
Is that where we're going with that?
Like,
I agree with you, though.
I feel like maybe that's the problem. Because women, we don't date based men are very physical, right? Mm. So when a man says you're out of my league, he's basing it on looks. That our looks do not accommodate one another.
But I think most men date women who are totally out of their league.
As they should.
Like, in fact, if you're going to fall in love with the woman, you cannot fall in love with the woman that's in your league, right? So you fall in love with the woman that you know, like, Lord,
I'm lucky she even gave me a chance.
Yeah, that was a hookup. That was a straight up heavenly hookup. There was no way in heaven, hell, anywhere that I could have gotten with her. And don't tell her this, you know, because she doesn't know either. And then you go into this open relationship because sooner or later you're like, you know what, I'm tired of her crap anyway. I've had
enough.
If
she is heavenly sin.
And you start thinking, you know what, I can get another one like you. In fact, there's so many. Because that's the thing, right? Beautiful women attract other beautiful women.
That is true.
And this is why we have these
the competition,
black woman on black woman racism that we're talking about now. Yeah. So,
because it's almost like black women compete with each other. They don't even, it's not even about the man anymore.
Suddenly
it's
you got all these beautiful women.
They're like, you know what, if she saw something, I will see something too.
Hell, you know, Candace, you said it, but don't tell the others because I don't want them to know. And then there they are like fighting over you and you're like, my life has never been better. And then that woman that you're with decides, actually,
My life could be better for you.
Mm-hmm. And she gets with that guy I just described now, that unicorn that does not really live, but he's out there. And suddenly your prospects start declining. Because once she leaves you,
the
other ones leave.
Your market share. She is your market share.
Your share price falls.
Because you can be successful.
The basement.
Exactly. But you can be successful or moderately successful and not attract the caliber of woman that you feel you attracted to. And then all of a sudden you get that one lucky strike.
Dude.
Like, you can't let that go. You can't. Like, you've got to put up with it.
We need a whole nother show for that.
We do.
Okay? Because that's when things, like, just fall apart. Because when she's with that guy, it really hurts. I don't care how far you are in the divorce proceedings. But when that happens, it's like, ow, really? That guy? Of all the guys?
Because men have, like, this ego thing, right? Whereby whenever every man you meet or every man you date thinks they are the best thing you'll ever have. They think they are the pinnacle of dating and relationships.
We have to.
And then you date someone better and it crushes. It crushes.
Yeah, it can really. It's a lot of therapy.
Yeah. I had a guy tell me once that women always come back because you can't get better than this. I was like, I never went back.
Okay.
I never did.
Would you like to though?
Definitely not.
If you said that, would you go back?
Definitely not.
Okay. All right, let's finish this topic about the woman on woman.
Yes.
Are we moving on? Because
I think let's move on.
We've covered that. Other things, right?
I think we need to.
Because there's other races we need to give airtime to. Okay. You know, like what's up with Indian on black racism? I never understood that.
That's true. But you know what? That's a mutual, like, dislike.
Yes.
Like, I go to black communities and they really don't like Indian people.
Like,
and
black
then
people
you go
are
to Indian
too.
People
and they really don't
they
like
really
black
don't
people.
Like black people.
Yeah.
It's the weirdest thing. I'd put Indian people and colored people, which is funny because they also don't like each other. Mm. But I'd put Indian people and colored people in the same box of not liking black people, black people not liking you.
But
and obviously,
also,
guys, we are grossly over-exaggerating.
Yes. You know, we have to say that a couple of times just in case you've just tuned in right now.
And then it becomes like, oh, my.
Race war. Yeah, listen, I don't want to do that whole black Twitter thing again. But okay, if we must, good for the ratings. Having said that,
that it is.
I feel like there's like, you cannot be racist without loving the other in a way, you know, like. All races.
Oh, you think like hate and love. Like you can't hate someone unless you love them.
Yeah, I found that at the same time, black people, Indian people, colored people, they want to get together. They want to get with each other, you know? It's like, but they'll make up stupid like excuses.
Like I've actually seen, like, you know, because a lot of Indian people or Pakistani people, mm-hmm. like will open corner stores at like black rural communities. And they hit on the girls, hey? They don't play.
They
hit on those girls.
Those guys are trying to mix it up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're going to have like a little baby that's just like a mixed masala.
Someone with really good hair. Just like a black kid with really nice hair. That's really
something
what
like me.
Is that what happened with you?
Almost.
Who was
almost.
The Pakistani in your family?
No, my mom is the mixed race.
Oh.
So she'll qualify as the Pakistani in this case.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Okay. So like, do people ever think that you're colored?
People think I'm Indian, which is even worse because...
You said that on air. No. Like, that's going on forever.
No.
How's it worse?
No. And I don't say that because Indian people are beautiful people. They really are.
I'm saying
that's even worse because, I mean, if I'm going to be Indian, at least give me the hair. Like, give me the proper flowing hair. I cannot be doing this, like, you know.
Yeah, because you pay good money for Indian hair.
I don't personally, but I'm not above it. Let's just put it like that.
I mean, if the circumstances change, you might consider it.
Maybe, if I need to switch things up, because I like my hair right now. But, like, I actually had, like, a chauffeur to the airport, and it was these two ladies, and genuinely, they had a whole conversation with me halfway to the airport.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're like, wait, what are you? So then I'm like, I'm black. They're like, no, we thought you were Indian.
Wow.
And then they were so happy that I gave a black man a chance. They were like, oh my, you date black men. Wow. Like, oh, thank
when
you.
When they still thought that you were Indian.
I told them I was black. They were still pushing the agenda. They were like, okay. They're like, it's okay, but I'm glad you're giving our black brothers a chance. I was like, okay. It's not really a community thing, yeah, but I'm glad I can help. You know, I don't know how I'm assisting.
Look, you know what? I'll be honest with you. I'm not going to say that I don't have racist tendencies, because that's human.
Yeah.
And I think I
discriminatory tendencies sometimes.
I discriminate.
Prejudicial tendencies.
Prejudice on the basis of color.
Yeah.
Yes. Sometimes I will see four black guys walking towards me and wonder if this is the day I'm going to get robbed. And sometimes I'll see four white guys walking towards me and wonder if this is not the day that I'll get lynched and hung on a tree.
Yeah.
This is just how it is, right?
Sometimes. Yeah.
Sometimes I'll see four colored guys and they'll wonder if I'm going to get stabbed or shot today.
Yeah.
It's just how it is, guys. But I think that on a basis outside of the danger side of being cautious,
yeah,
discrimination is stupid.
Yeah. Because I like the swirl. I like seeing mixed couples. I love it.
I not only like seeing mixed couples, I like being around mixed people in general. Mm. I think it makes the conversation so much more
diverse.
I think I love more than being at a party and there's like a whole bunch of different people. Not from a point of view of, ooh, it looks like a beautiful rainbow nation thing, but it's like we're just there
interesting.
And it's interesting and we're having a great time. And quite frankly, I just don't understand what the problem is, because we are so much the same. It's
fundamentally
crazy.
Mm.
And maybe it helps that, you know, one should, you know, maybe love people from another race from a relationship point of view to understand that really we're all the same.
Yeah.
I think everyone should give themselves that chance.
Mixed relationships are just amazing. I love it. Like if I wasn't, if there was a cute Belgian man.
Oh, Belgian specifically.
No, not even. He can be from like, flip, if you anything.
Yeah.
If, as long as you're cute.
Because there's some cute Afrikaans guys.
There are some cute Afrikaans guys, and I'd still do it.
It's the language thing.
Yeah.
Candace.
It's the language thing.
I guess we'll leave for that, Candace. Sorry, but, you know, put that on Afrikaans girl.
I'm just
something else.
I know, but I'm just, I don't really.
I'm like, yes, baby. Yeah, either way, kind of girls, I'm open to all of you. Hit me up on Demisha Masha. Indian girls, kind
of
girls, black girls, white girls,
all of us should be open.
Portuguese That's girls, the thing. Spanish girls.
You know how much you're actually leaving out of your life by not being open to everyone? Mm. Like, I mean, there's so many I see beautiful people in every race group. I'm just like, it's just a pity we've got such little time in the world.
I suppose.
You know?
There's only one of me. But I'm open to all of you.
It's a community service.
It's something that I want to do for every woman
deserves.
Who wants to experience what it's like to be with a black man. You know where to find me.
A black celebrity man? Is that where we're going?
Especially. Like, mm-hmm. I don't have to be like in that category, but if you want that as well, that's available to you.
It's a service that will be provided, should it be required.
Should it be required, I'll give that to you as well.
Oh, man.
I'm glad that we've gone around this topic, and I'm going to end it going back to hair.
Yes.
But before I do, it's like, I think that as a nation, we're very angry, and our anger is getting worse. And I'm hoping there's going to be a miracle.
Towards
each other and towards everyone, there's going to be a miracle that's going to happen that's going to make us not so angry anymore. Because I see it every day on the roads. That's why kids are burning libraries and things.
When our economy gets better, trust me, all of a sudden racism won't be a thing anymore.
I don't know about that as much. Because yes, we're all under pressure economically. I mean, tell me anyone who hasn't missed a couple of bills these days. But having said that, I think it's not really money more than it's just a mindset thing, you know. It's just getting to a point where you just like, get over your bullshit, man.
Yeah.
Like, stop telling yourself those lies about certain races. You know, we do it as well. Like, you know, we say things about Zulu people or Xhosa people. Like, you know, when I remember I had this one friend, a girlfriend of mine, and I met her the same day that I met my wife. And she was like, she's so beautiful. You must get with her and blah, blah. The moment I told her that she's actually Xhosa, she was like, I'll never talk to you again if you date her because you're dating a Xhosa girl. Because she was Tswana.
That is weird.
And I was like, but why? And she's like, you date a Xhosa girl and I'll never talk to you again.
Wow.
And like we have that
that's
that
intense.
Crap. Yeah, that's intense.
Damn.
So, yeah, so Tswanas in general and Xhosa people, I don't know, there's like this friction, but they love each other. Because they say in Sepedi, like, which is like the medicine of a Pedi person is a Xhosa person.
Yes.
And vice versa. But having said that, I think that it's about getting over that story. Because it's a story that we tell ourselves.
The narrative. Yeah, changing the narrative.
Yeah. And isn't that what you did when you were in Bloemfontein? You were changing
that
narrative,
That's exactly what I was
right?
doing. Yeah.
And hopefully people can stop burning libraries. I'm going back to libraries. I'm saying that over and over again.
Yeah.
Kids, I know you're angry about the
fee
situation.
At this rate, there won't be fees to pay because there won't be institutions.
Yeah.
So
there won't be anywhere to go, right?
So yeah, there won't be a fee increase. Don't stress.
Don't stress because you'll be studying medicine under a tree.
You won't be studying at all.
Yeah, that's basically what it is, right?
Okay, guys, that was a great show. I had so much fun. I'm so happy to be back.
I hope you think it was a great show. So if you do, podcast it. Podcast it!
Yes!
Tell your friends.
You tell a friend, guys. Thank you so much for listening.
We're going to get out of here. What are we going to get out of here with?
Needed me, no?
We did that last week.
We didn't do... Oh, did you?
No, the week before.
No,
remember,
we didn't
the last
do
time
that.
You
We've
were
never
here.
Done Needed Me.
Haven't we?
Never.
I think I did because I dedicated it to you because remember the last time... You were the one who introduced me to Needed Me. And
if you haven't
seen this video, by the way, this is the hottest Rihanna video I've ever seen. And, you know, a lot of people, we talk about love and stuff, but if somebody could look at me with the same kind of love that Rihanna looks at a joint, I would feel eternally blessed. In this particular video, there is this stripper with a leopard print tattoo on her ass.
Wow. Detail.
And I'm not trying to be a misogynist or objectify women. They objectify themselves.
Yeah, in that particular instance.
Yeah,
yes.
I mean, I wasn't the one who directed this video. Yeah. I was the one enjoying it. Thank you, Rihanna. And this video makes me want to live in a strip club. There, I said it.
Bye.
We'll see you next week at the strip club. I was good on my own, that's the way it was. That's the way it was. You was good on the low for a faded fuck. On some faded love. Shit, what the fuck you complaining for? Feeling jaded up. Used to trip off that shit I was kicking to you. Had some fun on a run, though I'll give it to you. But baby, don't get it twisted. You was just another nigga on the hit list. Trying to fix any issues with a bad bitch. Didn't they tell you that I was a savage? Fuck your white horse in a carriage. But you never could imagine. Never thought you could have it. You need